support the arts and have some fun this weekend.
Oh, real quick, I just need to throw this in here. If you want some chili tomorrow, 3 to 7, the Moravian Church, the chili feed is going on. I forgot about that. I should say that.
I apologize. We should have been talking about that more. But no. Yeah, chili feed. That's
chili feed.
What time is it going on again?
Tomorrow, 3 to 7.
Come,
you can get some carry out. You can go eat it there, whatever you want.
Right over at the Moravian Church.
That's correct.
Stop on down over there, our friends over there.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, great show. Thanks for everything.
Yes, it was fun.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in New York. It's thunder snowing in Buffalo. Western New Yorkers posting video of heavy snow, thunder, and lightning all mixed together. It was a slog for Jay Dano to get to his job at the Country Inn and Suites in West Seneca.
It took about an hour. I'm 3/4 of a mile away from the place. It's just finding pathways to get through because none of the roads have been plowed.
There's a state of emergency in effect, and driving is banned. Dano's advice?
We have some people from Ontario, Canada who are trying to get home, and I advise them not to... Just stay the night again. We'll give you a good rate, you know.
Forecasters expect as much as 6 feet of snow before it winds down this weekend. Twitter offices are reportedly closed until Monday after a mass worker exodus.
Elon Musk gave Twitter employees an ultimatum yesterday. Be hardcore or leave. And hundreds walked out the door. This came shortly after he already fired half the company's workforce. Melissa Engel was one of them.
It's extremely chaotic and the morale is extremely low.
Engel says many of those out were in charge of going through tweets, and so this is concerning.
With the human review completely gone, what will happen to the platform?
Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
The search for evidence and a suspect continues after 4 college students were stabbed to death in Idaho last weekend. CBS's Christina Ruffini is in Moscow.
Police revealed they are working with the 2 surviving roommates who were home during the attack, but are not considered suspects. University officials say they've increased campus patrols and are excusing all absences.
Ukraine is now taking part in an investigation into a missile that killed 2 people in Poland. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has that update.
Ukraine's foreign minister said today that Ukrainian experts are already on the ground in southeastern Poland where the missile hit. The U.S. and NATO have said they back Poland's assertion that it was likely a Ukrainian air defense missile that went astray. The Ukrainians have insisted they have evidence of a Russian trace, but said they're grateful to Poland for providing them with access to the site.
Don't blame Budweiser for Qatar's decision today to opt out of beer sales at next week's World Cup. The company says the new restrictions are beyond its control. Sales of alcohol are heavily restricted in the Muslim nation. Scrabble's giving younger players a new edge.
Doodles are not only a great gluten-free pasta alternative, but they're delicious and healthy.
It's added about 500 new words from zoodles, zucchini noodles, to sitch, stand, convo, and that temporary stand-in for the mohawk.
The stylist did a really awesome, edgy, braided faux hawk on me.
Dow up 93 in early trading. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
This is Staples.
So rumor has it that Staples has everything I need to ship.
Mm-hmm. We have all the shipping supplies and services you need.
Boxes?
Yep.
Mailers?
Yeah. And we have UPS here in store.
Huh. What will Staples think of next?
Right?
No, seriously, I'm asking, what will they think of next?
Staples is your one-stop shipping destination. Now get 50% off shipping boxes, mailers, or tubes when you buy 5 of the same item in store or online with 1-hour pickup. Staples, the best-kept secret in shipping. Ends 12/31. Exclusions apply. Visit staplesconnect.com/shipping for details.
Sail with American Queen Voyages, where history comes alive and discovery runs deep. Enriching adventures await in North America's mighty rivers, great lakes, oceans, and expeditions to the wilds of Alaska. Visit American Queen Voyages at aqvoyages.com, cruising North America now. Call 844-744-0794 or contact your travel professional. American Queen Voyages. Discovery runs deep.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 21 this afternoon under overcast skies, westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies, tonight, chance of snow, lows around 13. Snow likely, tomorrow, highs level off around 20, overcast skies. About an inch of snow, tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 21.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this November 18th, 2022. It is 11:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Terry Whitmore from the Nacoosa Public Schools District. He is the district administrator over there. Looking forward to talking with him. Right now, we have on the phone State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How you been?
Well, I can't complain. I'm actually excited. Our furnace went out 2.5 days ago, so we're getting a new one in today, so I'm looking forward to having heat again back in the house.
The older we get, isn't it funny the things we get excited about, isn't it? Just, you know, heat is a good thing, obviously, but just, you know, the things you get excited for. It's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially right now, it's a balmy 50 degrees in my house, so yeah. It's looking forward to getting the thermostat back up.
Can imagine. So I also can imagine that, you know, most anybody, whether you're running for office or not, you get out of the political season, if you will, election time, and can be a bit of a relief. You can kind of get back to focusing on the task at hand, that sort of thing. So certainly while you weren't running in this most recent election, I did want to talk to you a little bit about it, sir, because really interesting things coming across in the election results. As the midterm results, like, rolled in, and we saw more and more Democrats and Republican candidates were looking to celebrate historic victories, especially in diversity. House Republicans will add a new member of color to their conference, including John James, who will be the first Black Republican congressman from Michigan. Juan Siskamani will be the first Latino representative for the Arizona Congress, and many others. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for example, and some other ones. Tina Kotek, a lot of different people, a lot of different representation. Nancy Pelosi, wrapping up her House speakership, mentioned in her speech how when she started there was about 20 women in there, now there's 90. When it comes to all of this, just looking at politics as a kind of a big picture thing, this can only make our country stronger. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think so. And I that's the beauty of our system, is that every 2 years, you know, we have the ability to elect representatives at every level of government, whether it's at, president, U.S. Senate, governor, Congress, all the way down to state legislature and even local offices. So, you know, we have the opportunity in these elections to represent new individuals elected who represent our values and our beliefs, and to have that cross section of diversity that reflects the nation at large. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because even I'm really excited, too, with the election of Congressman-elect Derek Van Orden. You know, first time we've had a new representative for the 3rd Congressional District in over 26 years. And, you know, it was certainly a hard-fought campaign. And like I told Congressman-elect, you know, now that the dust has settled, it's time to, put on our policy caps and get to work for the people that we represent. And, you know, he seems to be doing that right now as he's out in D.C. getting acquainted and adjusted to life inside the Beltway, and then even down to Madison. We've got a lot of new faces that are going to be coming into both the state assembly as well as the state senate. I actually had the chuckle. I'm at 34 years of age, I feel like a senior statesman right now because we've had so much turnover in just the 6 years that I've been in the legislature. I'm one of the guys that you can say has been on the block now, which is kind of hard to believe. And so I'm actually looking forward to it. The Thursday after the election, I was elected unanimously once again by the Senate Republican Caucus to serve as the Senate President Pro Tem. And on Monday, I'll be going back down to Madison to meet with Majority Leader Devin Lemieux to discuss committee assignments. And my hope is I want to remain the Health Committee Chair. And then I think there's also a good chance that I may find myself on the Joint Finance Committee, which would be, I think, a huge asset to Central and Western Wisconsin as we go into this next budget, especially looking at what's going to be anywhere between a $5 to $6 billion surplus.
When mentioning some of these people here, one of them that I'd be remiss if I did not mention is the young gentleman Maxwell Frost, who is the first Gen Zer member of Congress. You mentioned somebody like a Van Orton, and I'm mentioning somebody like Maxwell Frost. So we're seeing a different collection of people that are coming into the ranks here. When you talk to your constituents all the time, you're talking to young, old people all over, but I keep coming back to seeing young people getting more and more involved in the political game. Used to be, it was around your age, maybe in your 30s, that you started getting much more invested in politics, getting onto boards, and maybe even running for a representative or mayor or something like that. But this younger generation, they're not waiting. They're coming in. They're coming right now, and they're going to get things done. Do you hear that from your constituents, that when you're talking to young people, that yes, they're engaged, they're involved, or are you seeing mostly that it's just a couple of outliers here that are doing this?
No, I think more and more young people are realizing and waking up to the fact that what happens in places like Madison, D.C., and even at the local level can have direct impacts on their daily lives. And so I think it's encouraging any time when young people get involved in the process and step up the run. And win or lose, it takes a lot of courage to put your name on the ballot. I can remember the first time I ran for office. I was 23 at the time when I ran for the state assembly in 2012. And actually 22, I was 22 at the time. And, it was quite the experience. And it ignited, even though I wasn't successful in that, it ignited a fire in me and a passion to keep going and stay involved. And, it landed me into the state Senate at the age of 28.
When it comes to our here in Wisconsin, with the recent election, of course, Governor Evers gets reelected, and we have Governor Johnson, Representative Johnson, also getting back into office. We've kind of talked about this as a nation already and looked at it, and all the pundits have talked about this. Wisconsin is looking more and more like it's back to being a purple state. You and I have talked about this quite a bit as far as divisive politics and the extremes of these things. I have to say, you bring up somebody like Derek Van Orton, and he has seemed to me as an extreme on the right side of things, much more than some like yourself and everything do. But we're seeing less and less of the people on the extremes, both right and left. It is not just a one-sided thing. Both parties have this. Less and less of those people being in Congress, in the Senate, that. It seems like we're getting more and more away from a divisive politics. It's hard to say that coming out of this most recent turn of events and everything with the attack ads being bigger and more money being spent on it than ever. But we're seeing more and more that those are not working. People are not listening to that. People, the election deniers, a lot of these things, they're not getting reelected. Their own party is not looking to support those causes, those things. Do you think we're getting closer and closer to that? I don't want to say that it's ever going to be a rainbow perfect world where everybody holds hands or anything, but where we can get some stuff done, where the two sides are going to work together a little bit more.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, especially when you take a look, both the midterms at the national level, where kind of a split decision. Obviously, the red wave wasn't as profound as many pundits had said it was going to be in the lead up to November 8th. And so as a result, Republicans have a slim majority in the U.S. House. And, depending on what happens with the Georgia Senate runoff, likely you're going to have a 50-50 control of the U.S. Senate with President Kamala Harris being the tiebreaker. And here at the state level, I mean, we have a supermajority in the state Senate. The Assembly Republicans picked up two seats, just too shy of a veto-proof majority. But yet, Governor Evers won his re-election. So again, we're going to have split government. And so I think that's going to be the decision that we're going to have to make as within our respective houses is, okay, obviously, you know, voters have chosen us to be back, but they also chose Governor Evers to be back. And so I do think we're going to have to find some areas of common ground and some potential compromise that won't necessarily backslide any progress that this state has made in the last decade as it relates to tax reform and some other critical reforms that have, in my opinion, have been for the betterment of the state. But, you know, that's what's unique about Wisconsin is that our politics, our electorate is a lot like our weather, where I've had conversations with individuals, you know, they voted for Ron Johnson and they voted for Tony Evers. Mm-hmm. And you sit there and scratch your head, you wonder how, because they're two polar opposite individuals from different ends of the political spectrum. But I think at the end of the day, it boils down to, in Wisconsin, people look past the R or D behind someone's name, and they vote for the quality of the person. And that's where, as I often tell people, strength of candidates and candidate quality are far greater than, you know, party identification.
I agree with you, and we've talked about that a number of times, how important I think that is to getting away from that and everything. But I as a citizen of the state, I look at the last couple of years, I see the results, I see what's going on here, and I worry, how are we going to get anything done? You know, the governor wants to do this thing, the House wants to do this thing, and we've seen this over the last couple of years. Not a lot gets done. You know, how can we, as you know, feel confident that, hey, we've got issues in this state? You know, our officials that were elected, they're going to make sure to take care of us. They're going to get this stuff done. They're going to listen to us and everything. It's kind of hard to, you know, realistically look at it and think, oh, well, you know, we're back to being a purple state, so things are going to get better, or we're going to be able to keep doing what we've been doing. What would you tell the dismayed voter out there when it comes to that?
Well, first and foremost, I would say there has to be communication between the governor and legislative leadership, which there just has not been any communication. And so I know recently Majority Leader Lemieux was on Capital City Sunday and was asked that very question, you know, what's next between the relationship between the governor and the legislature, and knowing that there hasn't been a lot of back and forth. And, you know, Leader Lemieux basically said, look, I'm going to reach out to the governor and see if we can sit down and chat and figure out where we go from here, because I think the idea of gridlock for another 4 years where we just lock horns and not a lot get done is probably not going to be palatable for a lot of people in the state. And what really concerns me is that there are some significant issues out there that need to be addressed. One in particular, I mean, just today, DHS put out a report as it relates to the number of opioid overdoses that we had here in the state. And we had 1,427 overdose deaths here in the state of Wisconsin. And 91% of those were caused by fentanyl. That's a 16% increase over the previous record year. So these are some of the issues that we really need to roll up our sleeves and tackle, because if we're not getting in front of these things, it's going to cause a lot of problems. And, you know, as it relates specifically to overdose deaths, a lot of broken families and communities as a result of it. And so we need to put our heads together to address this and work with our federal delegation to get a handle on this, especially at the southern border. So that way these drugs aren't coming into our communities like Wisconsin Rapids, like Stevens Point, and destroying families.
Well, and certainly attacking those situations where they, you know, they really are, and not just looking at talking points too. You mentioned at the southern border, you have the stats right in front of me of the how many Americans are bringing fentanyl into this country. They are not illegal immigrants. So I mean, focusing on where these things are really happening as well is key to this whole figuring this stuff out too. And when it comes to issues in the state, as you mentioned, there are some big ones, and they're all big ones. There's no small issues in our state. In our country right now, childcare is a huge one right now. And I did want to flip to this really quick, because I don't think a lot of people have heard about the new state grant program that's looking to test this. Wisconsin employers continue to struggle to recruit and retain workers. The State Department of Children and Families announced that 88 more businesses across the state will receive a grant from the Partner Up program. The $10 million grant program funded by the Federal American Reserve Plan Act will allow employees to cover the cost of childcare for their employees and children for for 1 year. We also seen recently Quick Trip opened a new child care center. More and more businesses are taking it on themselves to kind of take care to attack this situation, child care in our country. What are you guys and your colleagues doing to attack this situation?
Yeah, I mean, there's been an ongoing study committee throughout the past summer dealing with the issue of the cost of childcare, because it is a huge problem. I mean, we have a lack of providers, the sheer cost alone. I mean, I've met with a number of childcare providers within central Wisconsin, and they'll tell you flat out, we have waiting lists upwards of 2 to 3 years. And so if you're a young professional, a young family that's looking to start a family, I mean, you really have to be looking 3 years in advance, because, you know, if you want to get back to work, you're going to have someone to watch the kid. And if, you know, grandma and grandpa aren't nearby, well, it's going to be really tough to do. And so I think there are some changes that can be done within some of these, especially with like home daycare. I met with a provider back in September who was just running me through, you know, some of the different things that could be changed. And it's not about, you know, trying to lessen regulations and make it, you know, more dangerous and have some of these fly-by-night operators come in, but to really help the good actors out there to do an even better job and provide more opportunities for families to get relief. And I do think there will be an opportunity as we gear up into this next budget cycle to take a look and see if there are any tax incentives that we can give to employers, because I know there's a coalition of businesses right here in the Stevens Point area that are having these very same conversations right now, because they realize if they want to continue to be competitive and to continue to expand and grow and attract workers, well, they're going to have to get creative too and provide more avenues for things like childcare. So this is a huge issue. I suspect there's going to be a lot of appetite from both the left and the right to tackle this, because we're hearing it from a lot of folks.
Yeah. And I imagine that this is one of those topics you and I will be talking about the next couple of times we get together here. For now, I want to move on to another topic, and something that I kind of appreciated that you put note to, especially for people like myself that aren't normal. You know, I don't hunt on a regular basis or anything. I like fishing, but I've never really gotten into the hunting thing. But I know all my friends do. All the kids I went to school with out here did, of course. Hunting is a big part of the culture here in Wisconsin, just in the country, really. And you recently tweeted about mentoring hunts, and I'd like to hear more about that, because I haven't heard much about that before.
Yeah, so mentor hunts are really to try and help expand and grow participation within, you know, our great sporting heritage. And so it's the ability for, you know, individuals, especially younger individuals, to get acquainted with, you know, the sport of hunting and get out in the woods and learn how to do it safely, learn properly the safe ways, how to handle a firearm. And so it's really about providing more opportunities to get people engaged in the sport, because we have seen a decline in recent years. The number of individuals who are just choosing not to participate for one reason or another to go out in the woods and enjoy the great outdoors and hopefully, you know, get a big buck or get a doe to fill your freezer full of venison. And so, you know, it's one of those initiatives that us and the Sportsman Caucus have worked on over the last several years to expand these opportunities, and they've been very successful. Because I think anytime you can get younger individuals acquainted with a sport like hunting, chances are they're going to do it, and they're going to learn about it, they're going to learn to love it, and more importantly, they're going to do it safely. And that's the number one key thing, is that especially as we prepare for gun deer season, the opener's tomorrow, we want individuals to go out and enjoy the woods and have a great time, but we also want to make sure that they come home safely and enjoy their time.
Yeah, you know, even though I don't participate, I care about hunters, I care about the safety of it, and I enjoy even hearing from my friends and how they enjoyed them, you know, what they did out on their hunt and that kind of thing. I find it interesting, but I don't pretend to know that much about it or anything, and just even hearing that the numbers have gone down for hunting, that actually surprises me, and I don't say that very often. I would not have guessed that. Just in the bubble of people that I'm around, it still seems very popular, but I just, you know, know, while you were mentioning that, I look up the numbers, and you're right. They have been going down and stuff. So I, that's interesting. It's anything we can do to kind of help keep that alive and healthy, and of course safe, is, you know, not a bad thing. That's great. Another great thing, sir, that you do is, and I love talking with you about, is your On the Job series and doing this. And recently, while all of them have been impactful and meaningful, your most recent one, or at least I believe your most recent one, where you were working with Habitat for Humanity in Stevens Point, this may be your biggest job that you've been on yet, maybe most important one that you've done. Can you tell us a little bit about how that went?
Yeah, it was great. And so, you know, every Friday and Saturday, volunteers for the Habitat for Humanity here in central Wisconsin, you know, they've been working on a house on the north side of Stevens Point. And what's great, you know, families have to participate and volunteer, but you get all these different organizations that come out and, you know, help with the construction. So Stud Brothers Construction, they had reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to come out and work for it? I said, hey, you called the right guy. This is what I do. And so I should have asked, what exactly are we going to be doing? Because we hung drywall all day. And so, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of heavy lifting, tough work, but it was a lot of fun for a good cause. And afterwards, we went over to Final Score for a beer and a burger, and it was a great day and a great cause, and got to meet the future owner of the house, a great guy. I think he's got like 5 kids, so he was really excited to have us on scene and helping out, and it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice too, sir. You know, it's one of those, you talk very highly, any of your experiences that you've had, they've all been positive. And you've done a lot of great things being on the job. You've rode along with some of our officers. You've done a lot of things like that. But when it comes to this one had to hit the heart a little bit harder. It's putting up drywall. We've all done that. We've all, you know, come from a construction background. But there's something different doing that. I worked with Habitat for Humanity about 10 years ago, something like that. And I can still remember everything we did on that project and how much it meant. We didn't have the family that was, we didn't even know who the family was that was going to get this house yet. But just knowing what we were putting up there, I'm just thinking about it right now, and it hits my heart hard. I have to imagine that having the family, the gentleman there and all of that, working with those people that you know volunteer on many houses, had to really mean a lot more. And did it give you some insight that maybe you didn't have beforehand when it comes to the work that they do for Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what I really enjoy about it, and what's so different when you get to do a job like that, like an actual construction versus, you know, being in the legislature where, you know, oftentimes our work, you know, it involves a lot of meetings with individuals, different groups. When we pass bills, there's nothing really that you get to hold on to at the end of the day, aside from maybe a pen that the governor used to sign a bill and turn into law. But what was great about this project is that, you know, when we got there, there was hardly any drywall up anywhere within the house. And by the time we were done in the several hours that we were there, I mean, we probably had 3/4 of the house, you know, ready to roll and drywalled and framed up. And, you know, it's just being able to see your progress in your work and then, you know, being able to take ownership in that and having the future homeowner there alongside there, seeing his face and being lit up with joy because he's actually hands-on helping build this future home for his family. And so I think it gives you a much better appreciation for what you have. I mean, it's a great experience. I would encourage anyone, and you don't need to be a construction expert or a handyman. I mean, they've got volunteers there that will walk you through every step of the process and be there as a guide and help. And that's what's really great about it. It's a team effort. And so I encourage anyone, if they're interested, any organization that's out there that wants to take part and help out, to reach out to Habitat for Humanity and see how you can get involved.
And as always, we want to check in. Other than getting warm this weekend, anything fun planned?
Well, I was actually, I'd be up north right now getting ready for the opener of Gun Deer. And because normally I hunt opening weekend with my dad and a couple of his friends up in Lincoln County. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be going up this year because my dad has to go into the hospital and get a couple stents put in, some angioplasty done to unclog some arteries. So I think, you know, fingers crossed, everything should go well for him. But, you know, we're going to take a pause this year and and be praying for my dad to get through his procedure all right.
Sending him and your family all the positive vibes and healing vibes that we can. I really hope that goes well. Thank you for sharing that and wishing him the best. And yeah, you're right. You regroup next year, hit it hard and have some fun with it then. Ed, do appreciate the time as always, the transparent conversation you and I always have, sir. Really thank you for it. Looking forward to talking again next month.
Hey, thanks, James, and everyone have a great time out in the woods. Get that big buck. Be sure to post and share pictures on our page, and also want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
You have a great Thanksgiving, sir. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great. Take care.
You too. Again, State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. He'll be back with us next month again. Right now, we're going to get out of the way and get to some commercials. We'll come back, and we're going to talk to some people from the Nakusa Public Schools District. Looking forward to that. Coming up right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections, or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Game day. Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra.
Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoosels at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High temperatures reach up to 21 this afternoon under overcast skies, westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies, tonight, chance of snow, lows around 13. Snow likely, tomorrow, highs level off around 20, overcast skies. About an inch of snow, tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 21.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this November 18th, 2022. You have your host, James, here, 10:33 on the clock, and we're welcoming in a couple of people from the Nakusa Public School District right now. First up, I want to welcome in Terry Whitmore. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here, Terry. Appreciate the time. And we have Stacy Russell with us as well. Good morning, Stacy.
Good morning.
We love making new friends. Thank you both for being in today. And as I was telling you guys in our kind of pregame there, we don't get a chance to talk about the Nakusa area enough, and having especially the school district area. I will admit, for journalistic integrity, I love Nakusa. I'm a big fan of the Nakusa area and the people there. So,
well, we appreciate that.
I'd be a little biased about some of these things, but that doesn't mean I'm wrong. I love the area. It's one of our beautiful parts of our state, I think, is Nakusa. And, you know, certainly the people there are just hard workers, good people, and really, really care about their family, their community. And I think that I bring all that up because of the things we're going to talk about today with the school district. So first up, before we dive into some of the things with Stacy, for you, Terry, can we talk just about the school district in general, how things
Absolutely.
Are going?
Absolutely, yeah.
Actually, I apologize. Terry, what is your exact position?
I am the district administrator.
Thank you. Just want to make sure to get that out there
Absolutely.
For everybody. I should, given your title in there, it's a nice title. I should get that in there. So, how are things in Nakusa?
They're going really well. We're off to a good start. We've jumped in. We're working on a new strategic plan. We're in a first year of a three-year strategic plan. So I wanted to just inform the audience out there what our vision and mission is right now and what our goals are and what we've been working on. So the vision of our school district is to equip all students to succeed in a diverse global community academically, emotionally, and socially. And our mission is what we're about. Nakusa School District ensures an equitable school culture for every student through guaranteed high quality and results focused classroom instruction and individualized social emotional development support. So what we're going to be talking about today ties back to that, mm-hmm. that vision and mission, and everything that we're doing right now, our goals this year around academic excellence, creating a healthy culture for learning. And then we've really been digging into that equity work, making sure that every student in our schools feels like the schools are theirs.
Yeah.
They see themselves in our schools. So, we're off to a good start. We're in our second year of using our new athletic facilities mm-hmm. that are community supported. And we've wrapped up our winter, our fall sports season, mm-hmm. and are now moving on to our winter sports season. So
it's always exciting.
Yeah, school is in full swing.
Yeah, and the new sports area there, the complex is beautiful. That's really cool to see too. It's these kind of things. I know that they're great for the athletes and fans and families and everything. For many of us that may not have a kid in school right now or a kid in school in Nakusa, when I see those kind of things, I see a community investing in their schools, investing in education, caring about the education of youth and all that. That alone is worth it to me, let alone all the other benefits that come with it. And we see that, and you see this example of that. And for 'cause I think that it would be common knowledge to say that your position, what Stacy does, really anybody involved in the education system, it's not easy work. You do it because it's a passion. You do it because you love what you do. That doesn't mean that that can carry you through every day. So the little victories, the things that you see from the community of the support like that, I imagine it can be very rewarding and help
Absolutely.
You get you through those harder days.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what are some other things that you would like to touch on with the area that you want the audience to know?
Well, I think one thing that's really important to me, and that this is going to kind of spill over into talking about WISE, which is one of our charter schools in the district, is really trying hard as a district to meet kids where they're at and move away from the traditional one-size-fits-all school. And so what we've really been working hard to do is not only in our classrooms create classroom environments that are welcoming and conducive to students mm-hmm. and their different learning styles or different strengths, but also look at other schools that perhaps would better serve kids and their strengths.
Interesting.
So that's been something that we've been focusing on this year. We're really working hard on an initiative where the whole district is doubling down and coming to grips with how we can do things systemically as a mm-hmm. district versus, as schools, schools working independent of each other. So we've got some district teams that are working together to really create systems mm-hmm. so that more kids can be successful. And WISE is one of those schools that certainly offers something different for kids and families. So
I'm looking forward to talking about that and just charter schools in general.
Right.
It's interesting to me to hear that, Terry, because I guess, again, not having kids in school and everything, my kids are in their 20s or up there and stuff. They don't need me anymore. When it comes to that, I think of when, you know, our generations and we were growing up mm-hmm. and the way school was. And I never thought about it that way, but you're right. It really was a one size fits all kind of lesson plan and that.
Yeah.
I teach, and I say that word loosely, compared to being around actual teachers. I teach improv acting and teaching and writing and stuff in Chicago. And we've been dealing with that on that level, on the kind of thing where it used to be when I first started about 10, 11 years ago, it was kind of one size fits all thing. Now we're dealing with people on an individual basis as much as we can and kind of grouping people up more. The class sizes are smaller and there's more classes, but it seems like we're getting better production. We're getting better work out of this. It makes sense that would be similar to the grade school and high school levels and everything, but I just didn't think about that. I don't think a lot of people would have that detachment of not having kids in school, so you're not paying as much of attention to it.
Yeah.
And that leads me into this conversation with Stacy and everything as well, because we were talking about this in our pregame a little bit, the term charter schools. I think it's a common enough term that most people know it by now, but I don't think people know exactly the actual definition of it. We have kind of a broad version of that. Mm-hmm. Can we start there, Terry, and what is a charter school?
Yeah, so charter schools have been cropping up across the nation. Wisconsin has been involved with charter schools for several years, and I've had the opportunity to work and develop a couple of charter schools during my time in education. But charter schools really are meant, from a state's definition, given communities and the state opportunities to, as like a research and development arm of a school district. So in our case, can we create other opportunities that will help more kids be successful in a school pathway?
Yeah.
So in a couple of examples in Nakusa have been doing a project-based STEM-focused charter school. Mm. So we know that kids get excited around STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And so can we submerge kids into experiences around those topics?
Mm-hmm.
And will they accelerate their learning more quickly?
Mm.
Certainly, they're still held accountable to reading and math and those types of things, as a traditional student might be. But it really gives those kids an opportunity to enroll in that school if that is their passion, that's where their strengths lies. So it really is a research and development arm of a school, and it's run by a council. So our school board oversees our whole district, and then a council then, parents, community members, students perhaps, come together monthly. We create a contract between that council and the district, and then the council makes sure that charter school operates according to the contract. So those council meetings happen regularly. We talk about teaching and learning in the context of the charter school and make decisions about the charter school and staffing and students and all that. So what happens then is that good things happen, and then perhaps those good things can be shared with the traditional school. So, you know, in the project-based learning is the school that we run in Nakusa at our middle school. And so it really has showed our school district an opportunity to get kids into that school that really accelerate around science, technology, and engineering, math.
That's a fantastic answer, sir. Yeah. That's a great answer right there. And an encouraging answer, too. Like, I knew the definition of charter schools, I felt. And hearing that, I feel like I understand it more. I also feel a little hope from that. Not to say that the system was broken or anything like that. I think it's very easy to, you know, point fingers and have hindsight and all that. Mm-hmm. When we were in school, maybe things could have been different or better or what have you. That's here or there. I'm focused on right now.
Right.
And going forward. And it's great great to see that I'm not alone there. That yeah, mm-hmm. you know, you, your staff, Craig Broren here in the Rapids area. We've talked with him about these things before too. It seems like the people that are in the education system get it. Like you guys understand that there's more that can be done, more that we can do to reach these kids and to help them have a great futures and great, you know, being great adults. Because I did a little homework for the interview here today, and I found out children are the future. I found this out. It's amazing. Absolutely. You guys. I had no idea. I thought I was immortal. I really did. No, it's common knowledge. We've heard this our whole lives. Mm-hmm. It does feel like, though, one of the first times we're really putting our money where our mouth is. We're saying those things. We're talking about the youth and how important it is. We're actually doing going through the effort to find out, well, okay, well, how do we make them better? How do we make their lives better? And right. It again, as I started out before, we get this this detachment the longer we're away from school and the farther away, and especially if you don't have kids in school, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind a little bit. Getting people involved, that group of people, those people out there that don't have those things, that personal tie, getting them engaged and involved in these situations and caring about these things, whether it's voting on something or it's just being at a school board meeting or anything else, them understanding much more of it. Not only you guys do a great job of that, but I feel like you're doing great by the kids. Mm-hmm. It's about them before anything else. I think that's really noteworthy. I'm really looking forward to talking with you, Stacey, more about this as one of the teachers, the WISE teachers. Right. We'll take a really quick break, just a minute break, come back, and we'll have some more conversation with our friends from the Nakusa Public Schools right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt, and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 21 this afternoon under overcast skies, winds out of the west 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, chance for snow, lows dip down to about 13. Snow likely tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 20, overcast skies. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 21.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR. We've got Terry and Stacy with us from the Nakusa Public Schools, and appreciate both of the time from you guys again. Thanks for joining us. We were talking a little bit about what charter schools are and kind of using that as an introduction to talk about the WISE Virtual Charter School. This is one of the how long has this been around in the Nakusa area, Stacy?
WISE Academy has been in for about 10 years, but as an official charter school, for about 5.
Okay. And we were just talking there in the break. This started kind of small, but it has grown over the years, too. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Right. Hmm. We started off as really a program within the district, within the schools. So we worked with, you know, within the schools, within the students that were part of the Nakusa School District who wanted more of a at-home style education. And it started off with maybe 2 or 3 kids, and now we've grown up to about 220.
Wow. Now, Stacy, what is your specific role with this program, with this school?
Sure. So I'm really kind of the coordinator and a teacher within the school. So I take care of a lot of the enrollment pieces at the beginning when families are coming in, and talk a little bit about, you know, how we can help serve.
I appreciate what you do. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to get into the next part of this because I think that the natural question is, well, why? Why do we need this? We have a perfectly fine school and all these things. Right. What is the need for this?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of different reasons why families would choose to go to a virtual charter school and go a virtual route. A lot of it usually, you know, kind of centers on, for our families, it becomes more of a lifestyle where, you know, families are wanting to do learning at home. And it can look like a lot of different things. It can be more traditional style learning, mm-hmm. and it can be more project-based. We've got some families that actually do their learning through large projects, like entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. and you know, and starting their own businesses. So there's a lot of differences between our families.
Yeah, there's certainly more options for parents nowadays when it comes to the school system. Used to be kind of private, public school was pretty much it. There was a very small percentage of kids that were homeschooled at a certain point. Mm-hmm. Now that number has risen quite a bit. And as you touched on, there's a lot of reasons for that and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think those are some of the few things that might be common knowledge by now of why parents are not even touching on COVID or anything like that. It's just in social issues, different things like that. And certainly there is the part of it where kids, maybe they learn better that way and finding that out. So when it comes to all these kind of things, it does seem like, okay, and not only is it good that we have this, it's good we've had this program, this school for a while now. That's mm-hmm. very encouraging to hear. It's very good to hear. How has the job changed over the years?
That's a great question. So it's changed quite a bit in that we're able to really offer that level of accountability that families are looking for within the traditional public school, but yet for them to be able to put those same kind of ideas at home. So really our role has changed in kind of starting off as more of a support mm-hmm. to more of a real collaboration and partnership with families.
Yeah. So what are some of the services that are offered through this school?
Sure. We offer when a student comes to WISE Academy, we really sit down and we work with parents and with the student to create a learning plan and a learning pathway that fits mm-hmm. their learning styles and fits what their goals are. And through that learning plan, then we match them up with curriculum that meets their needs best.
Hmm.
And I think a big part of that is we can work with the families to find a curriculum that will capitalize on the student's strengths versus when you come to brick and mortar.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we're doing everything we can to individualize and support each student with their needs. But at home, you know, we find a lot of parents actually are staying home and working with their kids as their full-time job. Mm. So how can you trump that in a public school, right? When you've got a mom that perhaps was a teacher that's now staying home and working with her kids, and they're out doing field studies and traveling around the country. So,
right. Too often we felt like education in some ways was more deficit based. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're struggling in this area, we're just going to make you do more of that area. Whereas, you know, we're able to kind of tailor their learning towards their strengths. So we can pick up some of those challenges. Instead of by doing more of those things, we can pick them up by, you know, connecting it to their strengths.
Which feels like a great build up to hopefully them continuing with their education and going off to college or what have you, a trade school, a tech
Correct.
School, any of those kind of things.
Right.
It seems like, because that's what college, tech schools, that's what that's all about, is mm-hmm. gearing your education towards whatever field you want to get in. Mm-hmm. It feels like we're getting ahead of that a little bit for these kids, which is never a bad thing. It gives them a little bit of more insight into that world and hopefully even sparks something in them to want to continue their education. So, I mean, that alone seems like a great thing, a great idea for it and everything. But I as a parent, do want to ask, too, what about graduation? How does that affect graduation? How does that affect your credits to be able to get into a tech school or a college or something? Is there any fall off from that?
Absolutely. That's another great question, because our families, our high school students, are still getting a traditional diploma. They're still, for the most part, they have the ability to connect with the tech schools and with the colleges and get credits early, which is really a great way to get them a head start. So oftentimes, a lot of our students end up transferring into some of those institutions, and it works out really, really well for them to get the diploma along with some of those college credits that they need.
Yeah, and I think another important part is, because it's not the traditional route, right? Yeah. Virtual schools always. Yeah. We really help our parents and kids understand, if you know you want to go to UW-Stevens Point, check in with them to make sure that you have all your T's crossed and I's dotted, so that you're prepared for the experience at
it's exciting,
the university.
And the more we talk about it, and I did my homework before the interview and everything, and I found it really interesting, but I didn't get the excitement part. Just talking to you guys, I'm excited for these kids. I'm excited for our future for these kids and everything. I also like something else that you mentioned, Terry, that I hadn't thought about beforehand, too. The idea that a school like the Wise Virtual School, things happening there, that seems to be working really good for them. Maybe we incorporate that in the public school system, that kind of thing. I don't mean to put this in a bad way or anything, for lack of a better word. It is a petri dish kind of test to see how this works. And, that seems pretty good. We should incorporate that there. I hadn't even thought about that. I think that's magical. That's awesome. We don't have a lot of there's so many things in life. We don't have a chance to try them out until real live time. And being able to do that with something like this, while also continuing these kids' education, is just it's magical. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and we, as the charter teachers, we also take away from the traditional public school teachers, too.
Right.
So it's a really great collaboration between, because some of the teaching strategies that we run into where we're having children struggle, we're able to connect and be able to help remediate and do interventions.
And I have to say, look, there's a lot of kids. there's a lot of kids out there. And while we're talking about the Nakusa area and that specifically, that is a smaller town, but that has a quite abundance of kids. I think about this conversation, researching it, and talking with you both about it, I can't help but go back to my youth and growing up in Chicago and the way the school system was there. And it's not picking on it or anything, but I was in grade school going to school with junior high and high school kids. There was no separation. It really was that one size fits all kind of thing. And there are so many kids I can think of, almost the majority of them, that would have benefited from having something like the Wise Virtual School available. I feel like, if anything, we're a little, not here, I'm not saying specifically here in Wisconsin or Nakusa or anything like that, but it feels like this is something that could have been going on many, even years ago. So let alone it's so beneficial now with all the different things that parent and child face. There's a lot out there. I think sometimes there's this pushback that if we're recommending or talking about one thing, that means that the other thing doesn't work or isn't good. That's not the case.
That is not true.
Not true at all. A big, big, big supporter of public schools. I have nothing against private schools, just huge supporter of public schools and the benefits of going to public school. I'm a big believer in that. So I don't want that to get miscued here or anything like that. These are things that are adding and enhancing to each other and everything. Mm-hmm. You've got a great vehicle that runs just fine. You put snow tires on there to get around in this time of weather and everything. It doesn't change the vehicle, just enhances it.
Right.
That's a little bit of what's going on here with this, right?
Yeah. And I think one thing for the audience to understand is, a lot of people consider virtual schools with completely online.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, some kids do well online.
Yeah.
And if you look at the research across the country on virtual charter schools, you'll see mixed reviews. Certainly if parents and families want online tools, we've got online tools. We have access to online tools. But a lot of our families are digging in and using authentic, real-life books and texts that certainly we perhaps used when we were in school. But they're able to really give support at mm-hmm. home and perhaps bathe those experiences in field studies, etc. And the other thing I think that's a big part of WISE is us offering field studies around the state. So we've got one of our teachers that really specializes in getting cool experiences around the state so that people can travel and learn more about the state and great things happening. I know we were talking yesterday about there's a virtual tour coming up on the Hormel meat plant to understand how Spam is made.
Oh, wow.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
Does that have an age limit? That sounds really good. Even something like that is a great example of the flexibility creatively you can have with the virtual schools of teaching and everything, while, helping them continue that education that's so vital at that age and not just letting them have a passing grade just for a passing grade's sake. No, this is about the tailored teaching, design teaching, if you will, of it being more of as specific as it can be to a particular student. I think that one of the first things that pops in my head when it comes to the types of kids that are going to benefit from this, we're understanding more and more about the autism and that spectrum and everything under the Asperger spectrum, really. And as we learn more and more about that as a society, it's going to be beneficial to be able to offer more options for kids when it comes. And that's just one thing I'm talking about. There's so many other different things that we could be talking about and dissecting and breaking it down by case kind of
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
So it can only benefit our youth. It can only benefit our kids. And as we talked about earlier, you know, they are going to run things one day. Some of them aren't even waiting. We got a Gen Z already running things in Orlando area and everything. So it makes our society, our future that much stronger, these programs, these kind of things, these schools and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
As we're wrapping up, is there a way that people can contact you guys if they have follow-up questions or just want to know some more about what we've talked about today?
Yeah, absolutely. They can check us out online, and that is nicusasd.net. And certainly the information that is online will lead you to an email or a phone call.